Not if you can't. So I'm Heather Heide, and I'm a program manager on the project team. I'll be talking about how to deliver winning projects in SharePoint with Microsoft Project today. This is one of about 12, 13 sessions we have on Project at this conference. So I'll be mainly covering Project Client and SharePoint. We have a bunch of other sessions covering pretty much every aspect of the product you could want to learn about. We have some of them more going to Project Online, Project Server, some drilling down into like server reporting, how to build workflows, what's new for developers, what's new for IT. We even have a partner session about how to roll out a PMO to your company, more concentrating on the people aspect rather than the tool aspect, because we all know, you know, you can switch tools, but you have to get the people to move over and use them too. So he'll be addressing that. And we even have a customer session from a customer who's moved to Project 2013 already, and they'll tell you about their experiences. So something for everybody. And if you don't see what you're looking for at any of our sessions, we're also at the booth in the exhibition hall. So definitely stop by, bring any project questions you have. We'd love to answer. And for those coming in, there are a couple seats still up front in these rows if you want to sit down. So now this is a session on Project, and I'm showing you puppies. So you might be a little confused. So basically, there's a study done in Japan that says if you start your morning off by looking at pictures of baby animals, you're more focused throughout the day. So I want you guys to focus on my presentation because, A, you need to be focused to deliver winning projects because you need to really be in tune, see what, you know, tasks are coming up, where the issues are, work to solve your issues. Second, most of you came from either the keynote or this is your first session because you're up too late last night. I won't make anyone admit to that. So I want you to be focused on mine. And at least take one thing away, you'll know, look at baby animals. I, by the way, chose puppies. You can look at any baby animal you want, but it has to be a baby animal, the study found. It can't be a grown-up animal, no matter how cute it is. Sure. So now a couple of questions for you guys. So I was kind of scoping out the audience, but I want to get a feel now that there's a lot more people. How many people have used Project before? Oh, so a lot of people in the room. So who would consider themselves more a beginner, kind of used it but not really, you know, confident in their skills? Sounds good. And then who has used SharePoint Task before? And then who's heard of SharePoint? Okay, I didn't see all the hands up. This is not how to win at blackjack. I do not know how tips for getting to 22. I know that's 21, by the way. Just testing you guys. Just want to have everyone have an opportunity to pitch in here. So when we were looking at designing the next version of Project, we kind of looked out there and said, what challenges are facing people in the business world today? And then how can, from a tool aspect, can we start addressing some of those challenges? So we know for people to adapt a tool that it has to be work with how employees want to work. Like, it does never works when you try to force people into a system because, you know, either you're constantly spending all your time being like, have you filled out your whatever report yet, submitted your time, et cetera, or people just don't do it. So we knew it had to work with how people work and fit in very naturally. We knew it needed to be flexible and then make it easy for you to get started and get value out of it very quickly. And we knew that you wanted more visibility control into what people are working on, so that way you can make educated decisions rather than just guessing, you know, can we do more work in our projects? Can this resource take on more work? You know, how are our costs going, et cetera? So with that in mind, we came up with the new project. And as I mentioned earlier, we have 12, 13 sessions, and we'll be covering all of these points throughout all those sessions, but today I'm going to concentrate on three of them. The first one is getting started quickly. So whether it's a SharePoint or in the Project Client, we've done things so you can go from 0 to 80 or whatever you want to drive a little faster. We have done work around improving communication. So, you know, it's great if you have this project file that's gorgeous with all your assignments laid out beautifully and people assigned, but if people don't know that's when they're supposed to be working on things, you just wasted a lot of time. So we want to improve that communication and then improve the communication from the team members back into the project so the project manager isn't running around constantly trying to figure out what's going on. And then lastly, I'll be talking about making data-driven decisions. So a lot about projects is, you know, there's tons of data around them and there's lots of things that could go wrong. And we want to help you make decisions with how the data is so then you can make course corrections before it's too late and not have to go off gut feels like, oh, can we do more? Well, it feels like we can, but I don't really know. Like, we want to give you the data to back it up. So then, pretty much that's all my slides, so it's all going to be demos. So hopefully that will keep everybody entertained. So we're going to start our project where we know most projects start. We are realists. We know most people start their projects in either Excel or Outlook. And then eventually when, you know, it gets a little more complex, you're like, oh, this is actually turning into something. That's when you move it into another system. So I've started in Excel. I just have this very basic project plan. And I want to move it over into SharePoint because I want to get more visibility and I want my team members to actually know what's going on. So I can do that very simply if I just copy it. And then switch over to my team site I've already created. So I already have a team site for this event plan we're putting on. The SharePoint conference kind of inspired me with my demo data today. And I want to start tracking tasks. So I can do that simply by clicking on the working on a deadline. And that will add some apps to my project site or my team site that will turn it into what we call a project site. So in a second, you'll see the timeline show up. And you'll notice I now have a task list in my left nav. So now I want to add my task over, so I just click to edit the list. And now remember I had copied that data from Excel. Well, if I hit paste and allow access to my clipboard, all those line items are being copied in and a task is being created for each one. And then you'll notice the first one, this first one is on us message, was added to the timeline. And that's totally customizable. You can remove it if you don't want to, but we're just trying to do something, again, to get you going really quickly and say, hey, there's this timeline up here, like, look how you can add things to it. So now that I have my list in SharePoint, I want to start organizing it. And one of the first things to do for organizing it is to create a hierarchy. So if I select the group of tasks and click indent, I now have a starting of a hierarchy. And what's great about doing this is that it helps really organize your project plan. So instead of having this flat list of tasks, you can now organize it into buckets of work that are all the same phases for how you're going to complete the work, whatever makes sense to you. And then as the list gets bigger, I can expand and collapse these sections. So I don't have to constantly be looking at, you know, my project plan of 200 tasks. I can keep it at a smaller level. I'll actually take questions at the end, if that's okay. Unless, if you can't hear something like that, let me know, but I'll...
That was my first question.
Ah, yeah. I'll leave lots of time at the end for questions. So if you're used to using SharePoint task lists in the past, you notice you had folders for hierarchy. You no longer have folders. It's all in one list. And then if you're a keyboard shortcut fan, you can also do that through keyboard shortcuts. So shift, alt, right arrow, and it indents it just the same as in a project client. And if you want to learn more shortcuts, you can just at the bottom click on the little I and it will tell you all the shortcuts to help you get going. Now another thing we know is that lots of times you want to rearrange how your task order looks like. And we made that simple to do too. So I know I want to identify online opportunities before my planning complete check-in. So I can just take that and drag it up, very simply change the order of my task list. So you know, I might be adding new task at the bottom and then I'm like, once this is added, I can very simply drag it up and get my task list organized. That way it's always organized in a way that makes sense to me. So as you add that hierarchy, you can keep moving your task around. So I'm actually going to delete that item. And then I mentioned that timeline. So if you're familiar with the project client for 2010, you know we have a timeline view there. We now have timeline views basically in SharePoint and Project Server. So you liked it so much in the client, we gave it to you everywhere. And to add tasks to it, I can simply select the task callout and say add to timeline. So we'll add a couple others. And then if I want, I can drag these around and organize it in whatever way that makes sense to me. I can color them in if I have a color scheme that makes sense, or you know, I want to call out the most important task. And right now, you'll notice that all of them are showing up just as what we call a milestone task, represented by a diamond, because it only has a finish date. So if it only has one date, it shows up like that. if you give it two dates, it shows up as a bar. The easiest way to do that is just select the task and say display as bar. And then I'll be able to specify a start date, and that's what I'll be drawing my dates between. Alternatively, if I'm doing this a lot, I could add the start column just to my SharePoint list, because you know, it's a task list, but it behaves the same as a SharePoint list. So you can add columns to it just like you can any list. But. Give it a new date, and then when the timeline reloads, you'll notice it shows up as a bar. And here we go. And then I mentioned earlier you can color your task. So we're going to change this one hot pink, because I want everybody to remember that I changed it pink. So everybody, note it's pink. So now, you know, I can do a lot in SharePoint. I can create hierarchy. I can even identify predecessors. I can add more columns and do status. But I want something more than this. I want to really build a schedule that I have confidence in, that I feel like I can take to the team and say, like, this is what we're doing, and we can deliver it. And to do that, I want to move into the project client. So if I go to the list tab, and click on Open with Project. So I have to have Project 2013 installed for this. And basically what is going on is Project just created a local Project just created a project file. It is pulling the task data down from SharePoint and adding that task data into this project file. And then it's going to save this project file up to your project site. So that way you never have to worry about any kind of file management. I blame the two in the front for heckling me. No. We'll try that one more time. I'm on our marketing team. They're right here. So as I was saying, it's creating the project file. It's syncing your task data down. And then it is saving the project plan up to the site. So that way, you never have to worry about managing the file. And no matter what computer I'm on, when I click open schedule, I'm going to get that same file. So it's not, say, locally, you know, this laptop. And then when I'm on my desktop at work, I'm like, oh, I need to go get the file from somewhere. It's always there and connected. So let's see if it comes. If not, we'll move to plan B. OK, we're going to go to plan B. So it just happens, plan B also has a pink task. So pretend that sync worked, you would get exactly what I am showing you now. That's why I always use the pink task. And now my task data is there, which I'll show you in a minute, but my timeline is the exact same as that timeline I just showed you on the SharePoint site. So they're always connected, and you build one, and you can save it up for the team, but it helps to show that this is just how connected the data is. Now, a lot of you, when I was talking to you, said you were kind of new to Project, weren't really sure how to get started, or maybe you were running a deployment of Project to your enterprise and you were working with a lot of people who were very new to Project. Well, one thing we added to help them get started is this little tutorial here. So it's basically, you know, three simple steps to using Project. So the first one just says, basically, why would you even come into Project? So as I kind of alluded to, you can add a lot of more task details. So you can add durations and starts. With the SharePoint list, you really just encourages people to add finish dates. But until you get more data in there, you're not really sure if you can believe all those. You're like, I know I need to finish on Friday, but when do I need to start to finish on Friday? And you can add that data in the project client. You can also measure progress. So we have a lot of charts and reports within project client. And then you can manage dependencies. So you can't paint the wall until you've bought the paint, so you can mark those as a dependency. And that way, Project will update that link, or it will warn you if that link is being violated. So that way, you can always know your project's staying up to date. And then, as I mentioned, you can create reports in Project. So if I zoom out a little, you can see that these are the same resources that I was using earlier, and you can see how much work they all have assigned to them. So I can create these reports, and then I'll show you how you can customize them and, you know, share them with people on your team or, you know, your stakeholders and stuff. And then finally, what was being slightly problematic for me was syncing the data back and forth from project. But basically, as I'm making changes in project, every time I click save, those changes are going to be sent up to the SharePoint site, and any new changes are going to be brought down. So I don't have to do all these manual steps for myself to work in project and my team members to stay in SharePoint. So I've kind of walked you through the advantages of Project Client. Let's actually see them. So you'll notice these are my same tasks as I had up in SharePoint with the same data. And now I can start adding a lot more data, though. And one thing you'll notice off the bat is we now also have link connectivity in the Project Client. So I want to make sure Steve told me this was 2 days, but let me verify. And I can easily IM anybody from here, email them, et cetera, send it. We think project managers are going to love this. Team members, maybe not so much, but, you know, sorry. Oh, and Steve said yes, so great. We can keep that one at 2 days because that was the answer we were looking for. And thanks, Steve, in the front row. So now I can start adding more data, too. So I know I've talked to Vince. He said this was 3 days, two, one. And I just start building out my project plan. I know these identify retail partners needs to come after I identify my channel partners. So I want to link those. So to do that, I simply select the two tasks. And then on the task tab, I click link and notice how this one moved out because of that change I just made. One other thing to notice is see this highlighting here? That's something called change highlighting. So for people new to project, that really helps show you what changed anytime you make a change. So there's a lot of angst around changing project files sometimes because it's like, I'm not sure what happens after I do this. That helps highlight what happens. Let's add a couple more. And we'll say that these two are linked too. So now we kind of have some of our durations in and stuff, but I want to get my task assigned out. And I have a couple options for doing that. So this task needs someone, and by just easily looking at the list, I can see that it could go to Vince. And notice that my resource list, so remember I had all my resources in SharePoint I assigned the task to, that same list shows up in the project client, so it makes it really easy and quick for you to assign your resources out. But if I say Eli, he's not in my project plan right now, but I know he's in SharePoint, I could just as easily type in his name, and when I save it up to him, behind the scenes, we'd connect it with the real Eli. But you have to make sure to specify their names correctly. So if it's Eli with two L's, make sure you put Eli with two L's for it to work. So I said before, we could assign this to Vince because it's very easy just at a glance to tell that. But most project plans are not this simple or small, so there has to be a better way. And we have that through our team planner view. So if I go to the resource tab and click on team planner, you'll see a new view. And basically it shows me all the resources in my project plan are on the left side. And then all the tasks are assigned shows up in the right. And I can then drag things around and make everything work. So I can either just drag things up and around, or I could actually just right-click and say reassign to Chelsea and have things move. And now you're building a project schedule, and, you know, this is super simple, of course, but you can see as your projects get much more complex how this would really be helpful, and I'll show you that in part two. So now that I have a project plan, I have dates, I have durations, I have my links set up correctly. I have a task that, or a schedule that I can really have confidence in. So I'm going to save this up to SharePoint. And we're kind of jumping in our demo. But basically, before I opened from SharePoint, but we had some technical difficulties. And now, since I haven't saved this new plan up to SharePoint yet, I can do that directly from project. So let me go back and show you what I'm about to do. So I'm here, and I want to get this on SharePoint so my resources see what's going on. I basically just go to File, Save As, and then I want to sync with SharePoint. And if the file was already synced, I would be seeing this selected. And I want to create a new SharePoint site. So we'll call it Event Plan Simple 1. Click Save. And instead of the previous time, the direction was creating a new project file, pulling the data down, This time is taking my project file, pulling the task out, creating a new SharePoint site, adding the task part to it, so creating a project site, putting the task data into that site, and then saving the MPP, the project file, up to the asset library. So it's kind of the reverse action of what I did before. Yes, basically still we're walking through all the steps for verifying the list exists. So we create a new site, has a task list on it. We're adding all of our tasks to it, making sure the list has the right properties. And one of the beauties of this is I'm, as a project manager, can work in project. My team members can still work in SharePoint, and they never need to know I'm even touching project. Like, you don't even need to mention the P word around them if it scares them at all, which it shouldn't, because project's not scary, but it just doesn't like me today. For the record, it was working all morning. We'll try another one. I will get this working by the end, I promise. But basically what would have happened is all my new data would show up in my SharePoint task list, so I just have to refresh and I would see that data there. And then, you know, Steve would see that, oh, my task is now starting Friday instead of Monday, et cetera. And my team members could still make updates, and, you know, they don't know that that's how I changed the data, they just know that the data changed. So going back to the PowerPoint. So to recap, what we just saw is team members can work in SharePoint, I said. You can work in project. They never need to know you're in project. And you can still, you know, do everything you want. And I'll show you a lot more how working in project has a lot of data that your team members don't need to know about. Some of the benefits is you can make really quick updates. It's very simply build a project plan that you think is realistic and you can actually get behind and, like, trust that you can deliver, where when you have a lot of data missing, it's hard to have that feeling of confidence that you'll be able to deliver on it. And then, so we're trying to show your data stays in sync. So even though I'm in the project, I click save, and it's updating, and it has been working every day except for right now. So then for our next demo, we're going to show a project that's farther along and a little more complex. So we have this other project site that's a little farther along. You'll see I already have a pretty detailed timeline set up. If I go to my task list, you'll see that I have a bunch of tasks that have already been completed and just a lot more going on. And again, I have those same questions about, you know, is this project tracking? I really need to hit my initiation phase complete on December 14th. Am I going to hit that right now? What should I be concerned with? So I could probably get all this data from looking at the SharePoint site, but I want to pull it into project where we really give you the tools to make those answers. So again, we'll see if luck is on our way. I'll pull the project in. So one of the great things show you is you can help answer this question, how's your project going? If you're like most of us, when your boss asks you that question and you say, fine, you need to back it up with actual reasoning. They don't take fine and just say, okay, that's good, I'm glad things are going great. So this will help you answer the fine question. So everyone gets a little breather. Give it a couple more seconds, not we'll move to backup number two. This is why they always say have lots of backups when you present. I've plugged in. I just pushed in farther. Anyone have a joke? Actually, we'll take a question while we're waiting. So the question is, how simple is it to take, and I think it just went through, this project site, which is pretty simple, and connect it to something like Project Server? It is actually incredibly straightforward. I won't be showing you that today, but Wednesday morning we'll definitely be showing that, or later today in this room. Next door, Christoph will be showing it too in the Project Online overview. But like, it's basically two clicks of a button and you have all your data there. And again, you know, the project site looks the same to the team members, but you now have all that Project Server functionality. And it actually works, so everybody. Yay. I think it might be bad to clap for yourself in demos, but I don't care. But it's not all the way down yet, so I spoke too soon. But you can see is behind the scenes that that timeline looks exactly like that timeline that I showed you up in SharePoint. So you can at least believe me now that I'm saying the data is syncing down, that I was telling the truth. So what it was doing is it opened the project file first, and now it's syncing in any changes. So if since the last time you had opened the project file, maybe your team members had marked some tasks as complete, those changes would be brought down. And now it has fully made it, so yay. Now when the first things, so our goal of ANTS opening this was to find, remember, any problems we have with the project schedule and answer the question of how things are going. And one of the things around to answer the question of how things are going, you need to know how things were and how things are right now. So in the future to track how things were, we need to do something called set a baseline. So if I come to the project tab and click set baseline, it's basically going to take a snapshot of my project plan as it is right now, and then I can come back and compare it to that when I need to. So now if I do insert column, you'll notice that start and baseline start are the exact same because I just copied all the data from start into baseline start. But now if I make a change to my start column, so let's say this needs to start on the 21st, you'll notice the baseline column didn't change. So that now, like, you know, next week at this time, I want to know how things progressed over the week. I can compare it to the baseline fields, or I'll show you some reports that also compare that data so you can see how far off you are from your initial plan. So the general recommendation is always set a baseline right when you have your project plan set, kind of like in that first stage where I'm like, I feel good about this. Set a baseline then, and then you can set baselines throughout too to compare as your project progresses. Let's undo that change and then remove it. So as I said, we're trying to solve the how is my project going right now. Well, if you'll notice in the SharePoint site, I see this task showing up as red because it was supposed to be done 3 days ago and it's not done yet. And in project, I can see that, that same issue. Well, if it hasn't been done in the past, it's probably not going to be done in the past, so we need to move it up to be current. So the easiest way to do that is just if you go to the task tab and say move task and say incomplete parts to the status date, and it will move it to be today. To see the work is now scheduled for today. And basically, said the word status date, if you're not sure what that means, A, it defaults to today's date if you haven't set it. B, it's your way of saying my project is up to date to this date. So if I always do all my status updates on Friday, then last Friday would be your status date. And I would know that the project plan's complete till then and not to look at any task in this week because they haven't been updated yet. So another issue we have is you see this red squiggly line here, and it's because this link is being violated. So I said earlier, one of the great things about doing predecessors in the project client is if you have a predecessor and a project is no longer being listened to, we'll warn you. And then you have a couple options for fixing it. If I just right-click, it will say I can respect the link, which means kind of what it sounds like, respect the link and move my task out, or I can fix it in the task inspector. I'll show you that part later, so we're just going to say respect link, and notice how my task jumped out. Now, another thing you might be noticing is I have this little red indicator showing up in my left column, and it is the means my resources are over-allocated. So basically, they have more work scheduled to do than they can do in a day. They work 8 hours. They have more than 8 hours planned for that day. So we need to fix that because normally people don't get 16 hours of work done in a day, unfortunately. So again, an easy way to fix this is we can go back to our team planner view. So I go to the resource tab and click team planner. And I can So I've said the timeline is great for reporting. It's also great for navigating your projects. So I can drag it down a little, see my over allocations, just by dragging the top part of it. And I can then resize it and zoom in a little by just dragging in the bar. So it's very handy. This works in any time phase views, like the Gantt chart you can do it in too. So now I can see my over allocations. So I see Steve clearly has too much work to do. So I'm going to move define requirements to Vince. And then Kelly has too much to do. So we'll move that up. You kind of play a little roulette, see how all your changes fall out. And we'll move this to Stacy. So now I know that none of my resources are over allocated because none of them are red on the side. So you know, we use red a lot of times to mean there's an issue. So if you don't have red, things are probably going pretty well. So now I mentioned, you know, when you say things are going fine, you normally need to prove it. Well, we want to create a report now. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get my timeline ready for a report. So to do that, I just select the timeline view, and that's the thing at the top up here. And then on the format tab, a couple of things I like to do. I always like to change the date format to be something fairly short because it just fits better in small boxes. So if you go date format, you can choose whichever one makes the most sense for you. We'll say this one works well for us. And then you can choose to show more than one text line. So if you have long task names, this works really well. I kind of think it just looks nicer, so I normally do it anyways. You can drag tasks around, so I want this up top. You can very simply add tasks, just like you could in SharePoint by right-clicking a task and saying add to timeline. That one already was, of course, on the timeline. So here it is, drag it down here. We'll add another one. Pull it up here. So now I have my timeline basically how I want it, and I want to get it into PowerPoint because I need to take this into a status meeting. So the simplest way to do that is get on the Format tab, go to Copy Timeline, and we have three settings here. We have for email, presentation, or full size. Basically, email and presentation are just us resizing your timeline down so it looks good in that format. Full size is the best if you have a really complex timeline and you want it to look exactly how it looks on your screen. So for you current Project 2010 users, because I get this question a lot. Basically, you have a complex timeline. You resize your window. And then you know, make all your updates, make it look really good. And then you would say, copy timeline full size. My timeline's not that fancy, so I can just say for presentation. Then if I switch over to PowerPoint, paste it in. And these are all Pace's individual shapes, so I can keep editing my timeline here if I want it to look really good with my presentation, which, you know, part of presentations, right, is making the data look good, and part of it is actually the data, so we'll make it look good. I can quickly change colors. And now if I'm going to change the design of my template, notice my colors change with it, so I don't have to worry about keep updating my timeline. Based off, you know, my latest whim and what I feel like presenting for the day. So we'll just keep it blue. Note that, you know, the colors are changing, but if I actually made changes in my project plan, the timeline view is no longer connected to that, so I'd have to go back and recopy and paste it over into PowerPoint. So now I want a report to go along with this because, you know, the schedule is great, but I want to show how my resources are doing. So if I go back to project, for those of you with good eyes who have been studying the Project 2010 ribbon, you'll notice that we have a new tab called Report, and this is a new project feature that is reports that are built completely into project. So I mentioned resources. So we have a resource overview report, and I'll move this up. And it shows for every resource I have in my project, how much work they have done and how much work they have remaining. And then remember, I set that baseline field. So it says how much work they have when I set that baseline. So you can see, like, Kelly used to have a lot more work, but remember, she was over-allocated, so we moved some off of her. And then other people went up because we added some work to them. And you can add whatever fields you want to these reports, and you can customize them how you want. So I'm actually not don't want to show baseline work when I'm showing my report to my management, because they're going to ask me, why are the numbers different? And it's like, I know why they're different. Like, this isn't really the top conversation I want to have. So I can just uncheck baseline work and notice that my chart updated. If I didn't want to show actual work, I could just uncheck that too or add it back depending on really what I want to show. So completely customizable. Now, one thing before I take this into PowerPoint, I'm just something I'm a little worried about. I noticed Steve has still a lot of hours remaining, and I know Steve has a lot of other stuff going on, so I'm a little concerned that he's not going to be able to get this done. So I want to find someone else who maybe can take some of Steve's work. Now, an easy way to do this is to go back to that team planner view, but I want to see my report at the same time so I can see how the changes I'm making are actually affecting things. So to do that, I go to the View tab, and I check Details. And then I can basically, so before I just change it, notice that I now have my Gantt chart with a report, and I can split two views however I want so I can get two viewpoints on data. You'll notice when I first started, I had the timeline view of the Gantt chart. That's a very popular configuration, too. But I said I want the team planner on the bottom because I want to be able to make task reassignments while also seeing how they affect things. Go there, and then let me scroll so we can see both pretty easily. And I said I'm worried Steve has too much work. So let's move some of Steve's work up to Vince, because while Vince has done a lot of work, he doesn't have much left. Now notice the second I drag that task, how the numbers change. Like, that's how live these reports are. They're completely off your data. We'll go back one more. So, whoosh, my numbers move up, go back, move down. Just, that is how live and connected the reports are. So I get that point across. So now that I have my project plan built out a little more, I want to start sharing this report. Another customization I want to make before I do that is Chelsea doesn't work on this management team I'm reporting to, and I don't want her name to show up in my report, so I can filter her out really easily. I just select the chart, and I click on this funnel, and I uncheck Chelsea, and she's no longer in that report, and I can simply do that in the next report too, or chart. So now I have my report how I want to build it. And again, just like I copied and pasted my timeline, I can copy my report too by going copy report, switching back to PowerPoint and clicking paste. And notice my report, A, copied in, so same charts, but B, it changed to blues because my PowerPoint template scheme is using the blue colors. So we want it to look good. We don't want, you know, pinks and reds going together or something like that. She should have been removed. Good eyes, though. I guess sitting in the front helps. But yeah, she should have been removed. And once you're over here now, the data is no longer connected. So again, if I'm making changes in project, the data is not going to be reflected here. But what I can do is I can still do some formatting. So if I decide I want my charts to look a little differently, I have that option here. I can still, you know, add a title to my axes, et cetera. Whatever you want to do to really make these charts reflect the information that you want to show. So we have about 10, 12 charts we ship in box, but sometimes they're not enough to meet your needs because the charts we did are basically more the basic charts to get you going, but we know there's reports, you know, everybody has their own way of doing things. So we have, for that, you can just create your own new one. So I can come back to the report tab, click new report. We'll just say blank one, my new report. Now I can do whatever I want. I can insert charts, tables, pictures, etc. So we'll say I want to see how my work is progressing over time. So by default, when you insert a chart, we put some data into it just so it's not a blank chart because blank charts tend to scare people. So we have this, and we have task, and we're showing the task names, but I want to do it over time. So I'm going to change this to time. And now that doesn't really look good in a bar chart format, so we're going to change it to be a line diagram. And then notice my lines have these huge dips in that. That's because people don't work on weekends. So I want to show it at the week level instead of the day level. So we let you do that. You just say edit and days, and you can change it to weeks. If you had a really big project, you could change it to something like months or quarters too. But my project's pretty small, so weeks looks good. And then just like before, I can customize what fields actually show up. By default, we've selected actual work and work. I just want to show actual work. So this is showing so far to date how much work we've done each week. So this is a good chart to say, hey, our max is what? 64. If I'm planning to do 120 hours of work in 1 week, it's probably not going to happen because historically I haven't been able to do that yet in this project. Or if I do think it's going to happen, I should have a reason why. Like, oh, we have a lot more resources working this week than we had any other week, or something to back me up. So my expectation's off because the data is telling me that's just normally not how things happen. And then you can also insert tables. So if I'll do that again because I did that really fast. If you go to Design tab and click Insert Table, I get a table inserted, and then I can customize what fields show up in that. So we'll say we want to also see how much actual work's been done. And notice I'm only seeing it for my top-level task. This is my project summary. I can change my filters over here to show it for other tasks. So we'll say we want to show all, but all is actually too many, so I'll just say I want to see incomplete tasks. So again, now I have a report that, you know, showing what I want. And the great thing is that this report is saved to my project file, so I don't have to recreate it each week. So if this is the weekly status report, it's now there for me, so each week I just open up in the project client, make whatever, you know, updates are necessary, switch to this report, copy it in PowerPoint, email, Excel, whatever your format for showing things off is, and I wouldn't have to keep doing it. It saves lots of time. So one other thing I mentioned kind of early on is that you really want to keep this task list in SharePoint as simple as possible, but there's probably a lot of other information that you want to track. So you can do that in Project. We have a concept called custom fields, so just how you can create kind of a new field in a SharePoint list, you can create new fields in Project. Simple way to do that is just click in the Add New Column header and start typing. So I want to track risk, and I want to track lead. So who's kind of the area lead for each of these tasks? And then alternatively, I could just start typing in the column if I want to. So, and that has a column inserted. Or if, say, I want cost. Whoops. If you actually type cost, you'll see that I added a cost column. So we're trying to smart to pick the type of column based on the data you give us. But anyways, I want to track risk and lead. So basically, risk is just something I want to know is, you know, for each of these tasks, how concerned am I about it finishing on time? So we'll say hi, medium. Oops. And I can keep filling that out. And I don't want people in my team to see this because it's kind of like, oh, why is she worried about me and not about other people? You know, not the best team morale thing. And this is just personally for me, so I know which task I want to keep a higher watch on. But I have this other field, lead, and I do want my team to see that. So let me add some data there. Show, and these are just, you know, the leads for the area. So that way, you know, Vince, when he's working on Identify Launch Team, he knows to talk to Ann if he has any issues, et cetera. So I really do need my team to see this field. So I can update how the sync works to show them that by simply going to File, Map Fields, Add New Field. So my project field, remember, was called Lead. And now it will create a new SharePoint column that will be synchronized with this field. So that way now, just like, you know, start, task name, and stuff is staying in sync, this field will also stay in sync with SharePoint. So now as I'm saving that, remember, it's saving the project file that is attached to the site. But it is also syncing all the changes I've made up to that SharePoint site, so that way my team members have the latest data. And again, we'll all hold our breath. And then I haven't shown it yet, but you might be wondering, what happens if my team members are editing the project the same as I'm editing it in the editing in SharePoint and the same as I'm editing it in the project? Basically, those changes will be brought in. So if people have been marking tasks off, you would now see those tasks marked off. Say someone had edited the exact same thing. So I said a task had to finish on Friday. My team members said on Monday. That's a conflict. I would get a dialogue saying, which version do you want to keep? And then I can make a decision based on that. And we'll hopefully show that, but I'm just preempting it. So it's still going.
Yes.
Let's take maybe one question while we're waiting, if there's a quick question. So question is, loves the syncing and all that, yay. For reports, can you basically having to manually copy paste things? Is there a way to automate that? So then building on that is, you know, if I'm creating this PowerPoint, I have to probably save it somewhere. I have to get people to look at it. So it'd be ideal if I could just get these reports to automatically show up somewhere. That we do not have right now. Probably something you could build on your own, because a lot of that is functionality is available, but you don't have that out of box. There is some more for server reporting. If you go with Project Web App, you can automate that a little more. And they'll be showing that, I believe, tomorrow afternoon. Okay, so our changes all went through. So let's go back to SharePoint. And here, remember, is my task list. So as I'm refreshing it so we can get the latest data. And remember, so good way to tell if things change, you'll see this one task used to be red because it was late. It's now not due until Wednesday. So we know our changes made it through just by looking at things like that. But remember, I saved that lead field because I want my team members to know who to chat with. So let's add that, and we can do that just by modifying this view. Drilling down to lead, if I click OK, notice that's now showing up in my project plan, or sorry, in my SharePoint task list. I work in project way too much. So this data is now available. As I keep making updates, it's going to sync back and forth. And I mentioned what happens with conflicts, but let's show you what happens for real. So we're going to say kickoff product launch. Kelly says that she needs until 28th to do this. And then I'm going to go back to the project. And so remember, I did kickoff product launch. She said the 26th. I'm saying she has till the 22nd. So we'll make sure our editing, our change has committed. So remember, we have 26 versus, 22nd? I click save. And this time during the sync, I'm going to get an alert dialog telling me that my changes do not agree with each other. And then as the project manager, I get to decide which one to keep. So at that point, it might be like, oh, I should probably go chat with Kelly and ask her why she needs more time when I think she needs less time. So here's the conflict you see, 22nd versus 28, and I can choose which version to keep. So for now, I'm going to keep the project version because that's really what we need to stay on track. But I'll make a note to myself, you know, I need to have that conversation with her. So I could either, you know, through link connection, send her an instant message, go stop by her office, you know, whatever. And I'll get that dialogue for each conflict that happens. But I only have one because I only did one. And now it's just updating the rest of the project plan. So the question is, in that dialogue, I keep saying Kelly had changed it, but did it actually show me Kelly had? That dialogue doesn't tell me who has changed it, but I can go to the SharePoint list, and there's a modified by column. I can insert that column into the view or create a new view with that, and when that dialogue comes up, I could then switch over to SharePoint and see who actually made that modification. So now we're almost done saving it back up. So hopefully at this point I really hit home how the data is connected. And you know, you work in project, your team is in SharePoint, and the data will keep going back and forth, normally at a faster speed than what I am seeing. But I know Tipur said in his thing they were working in Europe. I'm working in Asia, so I'm slightly farther away than he is. So now all my changes went through. So final scenario I want to show is more starting that project from scratch. And then while we're in here, I want to do just a little tutorial for people. So you might have noticed how, we'll just do a very, very simple task. I have this task mode column here. So for people using Project 2010, you're probably more familiar with that. If you aren't, it's probably new. It basically, we have two ways of scheduling your tasks now in Project. You can have tasks that are manually scheduled or tasks that are auto-scheduled. Auto-scheduled is the legacy, so if you use Project 2007, 2003, so forth, that's what you were using. In 2010, you can make that option. You can make a choice. The big difference is basically how they react to changes. So I'll link these two and link these two, and I'll make the second set auto-scheduled. And now if the first one gets longer, instead of moving out the task, it warns me that there's an issue. So basically, the task is almost pinned into place. That's why we use the little pin icon, and it won't move until I explicitly tell it to. In the latter scenario, since it's automatically scheduled, it will keep automatically moving out as I make changes. Now, one thing to note with SharePoint task lists, we default your task to manually schedule it because that's really kind of the SharePoint model. You can have automatically scheduled tasks, but they won't be automatically scheduled in SharePoint. It won't be until you bring the task into Project that you'll see your links and stuff automatically updating. Because you know, SharePoint doesn't have a scheduling engine. They just, what you see is what you get. Bring it into Project, we have the scheduling engine so we can move your task around. So it really depends, do you want to be warned and make the decisions, or do you want everything to manually happen? And normally it depends on the type of project you're running or the type of links you have. Another thing I said is you want to add a hierarchy because it really helps organize your project. Simple way to do that in the project client is just select your task. And then on the task tab, say insert summary. And notice that a new summary task was just inserted and that my two tasks are now subtasks. I'll do that one more time. And now I can have auto-scheduled summary task and manually scheduled summary task. So the difference is here. Say I have 5 days to do this summary. So I can type that in there and I can see I've only used 2 days. So basically 5 is the black line, 2 is the more teal. So that means, A, I can either add more work, which is always fun, or B, I have 3-day buffer, so I know, like, oh, like I have some breathing room here. Well, I'm going to add more work. And you can see I filled it up, and now if I go past it, the dates won't move, but again, things will turn red, be like, hey, you said for summary one you only had 5 days. You're past that. What do you want to do? And, you know, you could extend your summary task, or I could cut something. Now, if my summary task is automatically scheduled, it will just auto-update as my tasks slip out. So see, it slips out 2 days, it goes longer, etc. So you might have seen this throughout some of my presentations, how these lines were working. I want to go over what they meant. And then the other thing I said I mentioned was the task inspector. Basically, we added the task inspector to tell you why your tasks are behaving how they are and to let you know if there's any issues. So if I turn it on for the selected task, we'll see if there's anything. That one's good. This one has a couple issues. It may need to be delayed by 1 day because it's the predecessor task moved out. And then also, it's going past the summary task. So I have a couple options for how to fix this. One, I can extend the summary task. So I'll click that. And now everything's back to green there. And then I can respect link, which will move my task out. And then I have that same error again, so then I can extend my summary task again. So if you ever have tasks in your schedule and you can't figure out why they're behaving like they are, a good place to look is the task inspector. So we'll also show you, for example, what tasks you're linked to and what tasks are actually driving that link. But speaking of that feature, we added something else in Project 2013. If you currently have tasks that have lots of links, you'll know that it's sometimes hard to follow all those lines back and forth to see how they're driving your project. We have something called the task path. So if I go to the format tab, see task path, and I can turn on just predecessors or driving predecessors. So if I turn on predecessors, see how this one turned yellow as my selection changes, the highlighting changes. And then if I want driving ones, so that's the ones that are directly affecting it, I can turn that on, and those will be shown in a different color. And you can do the same for successors. So it's a good way at a glance to tell what is exactly affecting each task in your project. And then finally, I talked a lot to how, you know, I may project manager work in project, your team members can work in SharePoint, but one issue is to know things are going on in SharePoint, they need to go to the right sites, right? And then sometimes that's hard. Like, you can send people a million emails, et cetera, and they won't go where you want. But we've put all their tasks in one place for them, too. So this is the new newsfeed in SharePoint 2013. I can see, you know, Vince and Steve evidently are in Vegas, too, so watch out for them. But basically, these are all the projects I'm a part of, like system upgrade, people I'm following, and really see what's going on. And we have the task equivalent of that for myself. So these, I click on tasks, I can see all the tasks that I've been assigned to. So these are all of Steve's tasks. And I can see, you know, he has a personal task that he himself created, and he has these tasks which were coming from that conference plan, and then I just added a new task with that event plan. So they're all showing up here. So he doesn't even have to know to go to those sites. He just comes here and sees all the work assigned to him. So then, just to recap, everything we saw with this last demo is that project really provides a lot more insights into your schedule. So again, you can always answer those questions of how things are going, what adjustments do I need to make, et cetera, so I can continue to have faith that I can hit my deadlines. Some benefits are easily create reports, balance your resources, and then all the additional data that you can store in project, but still keep your SharePoint task list as simple as you want. So then what do you need for this? For online, you need SharePoint Online, and then you could use Project Pro for Office 365. For on-premise installations, you need SharePoint Server 2013, and then Project Professional 2013. Notice I'm saying professional. All of the SharePoint syncing functionality is only in Project Professional. And then you can go also opposite. So if you're using SharePoint Online, you can still use the full Project Professional installation. Or if you're using SharePoint Server on-premise, you can still use the Project Pro for Office 365 and then get all the advantages of the click-to-run subscription and stuff. So either one works. Like, they don't, once you have them, they don't care who they're talking to. You just make sure you get Pro. While I was talking to some of you, a question came up about using SharePoint 2010. So in SharePoint 2010, we do have some basic syncing between the SharePoint task list and the project plan. You won't get that timeline sync that I showed you, but you can get your basic task data going back and forth. And I'll have the link to our blog up here, and we have a couple posts on that in our blog or in our help articles if you want to learn more. So I mentioned at the beginning, we have a lot of other sessions on project. So I didn't show any project server, but if you come today at 3:45, we'll be doing a whole demo, or will. Christoph will be doing a whole demo on the Wave project management using SharePoint and the portfolio system, and it should be amazing. So stop by that one. We have developers, professionals. So the Fast Track Your PMO Office, that one's the one I mentioned is by a partner, so we'll be talking about more the human side of rolling these kind of systems out. We have our customer showcase. And the last one is best practices. So inside Microsoft, we have a lot of teams that use Project. Like, we have used it ourselves, of course. Our IT department uses it. Other product groups like Bing use it. And they've all been moving to the Project 2013. So we have kind of their feedback and lessons learned and what they've been doing. Like, Bing just demoed to us last week. And they're doing some really cool things for how they manage stuff. So that one should be interesting. So now some next steps. So we have some links here. And by the way, the slides are all going to be for every presentation available to download. So if don't like hurry to copy down links real quick. You can try the new project version. You can go to our blogs. We've been posting a ton about all the new features in Project 2013. Or if you have questions on old features, you can search in the blog. And we have posts on pretty much everything at this point. TechNIC, MSDN, forums. And definitely stop by our booth today. And then one last reminder, make sure you evaluate the session, especially if you liked it. Make sure you evaluate the session. and then we have time for questions. So.